Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction, Hope, and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction, Hope, and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Julie Mack, Cressa, Jem Wapis, Pagnetto Carp, Rich Stang, the Leonon Stang, David Kunzman, Pretori Law, Andy Stegels, Higher Logic, Bruce Kaufman, Human Circuit, Megan Fishburne, Agency Q, and Mike Kaptanovich, LMO. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. John, please give us the rundown.
Our first guest is Barb Clapp, President and CEO of Clapp Communications. Our second guest is John Smoot, Executive Director of the Habitat for Humanity of Northern Virginia. Our next guest is a pair of folks, Panakin Patel, the CEO, and Amy Johnson, the COO of IT Concepts. And our last guest is Ralph Sita, CEO and co-founder of Cybrary.
Let's get to our first guest, Barb Clapp, President and CEO of Clapp Communications. Barb, what is Clapp Communications? What are you guys doing?
We are a full-service communications agency that's been in business for 16 years.
A full-service communications agency. And how large or how small is this organization?
We are purposefully 10 people.
Where are you from originally?
I am originally from Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, that's kind of complicated. I have one half-brother, and I have one adoptive brother.
One half-brother and one adopted brother. All right. So, and you mentioned that you had dinner with somebody recently that you're not sure if it was a half. What was going on back then?
So I was given up for adoption. I was born in Washington, D.C., and lived in a foster home for a while. And then I was adopted into a family in Baltimore. So I have a half-brother or adoptive brother. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a half-brother because I later found my birth mother and have gotten acquainted with my half-brother.
How did this adoption and foster stuff have any impact on you?
Well, it's difficult to look back on your childhood and see that you were given up for adoption, and that leaves some questions. And living in a foster home in your formative years is difficult. I have notes from the foster mother that I was fussy, which would make sense, I would think. And lastly, I was adopted into a family that had the meanest man that ever lived on earth. So it made me a very strong person.
Ooh. When you say a really strong person, there was a period of time back in 08, 09, 10 where the U.S. economy was going through a difficult period. Did the difficulties in your childhood help you weather the storm, necessity becoming the mother of invention?
No doubt. There's nothing that will ever defeat me. After I've been through the hardest things anybody could go through, there's no way that an economy would defeat me.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you were making dinner for your brother, when you were cooking dinner for your brother?
My earliest memories were around 7 years old.
Wait, you were cooking dinner. How come you were cooking dinner?
Because my father was abusive to the whole family, and particularly my mother, so it just seemed easier if I took care of dinner, because if she made something, he usually threw it against the wall and yelled he didn't want that slop.
What'd that do to you?
Well, it makes you tough, for sure, and it makes you mad.
How important is your intuition in business?
I probably have one of the best intuitive personalities you will ever meet, because I had to read a situation all the time.
What's that have to do with business, though?
Well, if you're not intuitive in business, you're not going to stay in business.
Rich, what question you got there?
I was interested earlier, your background. Every business has an ideal client. How does your background shape how you choose your clients?
I try to focus on education, healthcare, not-for-profit, and government. We do some real estate, that kind of thing. And I do the things that jazz me, that make me excited,
Wasn't there a favorite client that you mentioned about that was involved with law enforcement or something?
We represent Baltimore City FOP and Baltimore City IAFF.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. David, what are you thinking?
When we spoke earlier, you mentioned you worked to put yourself through high school. If you could talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, what do you mean you worked?
I went to a Catholic girls' high school, and I worked three jobs while I was helping to pay for my education.
And how did that make you feel? Your friends are out gallivanting, and you're working extra shifts to make some money.
I managed to gallivant between those extra shifts.
You put in the hard work. I mean, you had to pay for your own high school?
I paid for high school and college, yes.
Wow, you're responsible. Who's got the next question here? Megan?
You mentioned resilience being a key factor in succeeding in business. How do you teach your employees to be resilient?
I think as being a role model. If I act like nothing's going to throw me, then they're going to understand that nothing's going to throw them.
Mm-hmm. Andy?
On that same resilience note, so you've been through incredible adversity, which I assume is a lot to do with the resilience you have now. You've got two wonderful daughters. You know, they don't have, hopefully, the experience of the adversity that you had. How do you make them resilient?
That's a good question. It's something I've pondered over the years. And I think at first I thought you had to have a hard life to be a good person and be grateful. But I realized I raised very grateful children that had a very privileged life. But I made them clear on the fact that they were privileged.
Bruce?
So you're in a very high-touch communicative industry with communications, but yet you come from just the opposite. How do you get there?
I worked hard at it. I was very shy. I didn't talk. I didn't believe in myself. And over the years, I've done a lot of hard work to get myself to the point where I'm a good communicator.
What do you mean you didn't believe in yourself? What are you talking about?
Somehow I've always believed in myself, and I think that comes from that well of resilience.
Mm-hmm. Jen, what are you thinking?
What do you do philanthropically or to give back, given what a difficult life you had?
Giving back is one of the most important things I can think of doing. One of the things I do is a lot of animal advocacy, and I do a lot of things for people that don't have voices. So I guess growing up, I didn't have a voice, and I didn't have any control, and I definitely advocate for the things that experience those same things, animals.
You think the reason you're turned on to communications is because you didn't feel you had a voice?
I just got into communications because I love magazines and newspapers.
It sounds to me like you got into it because it gives you a chance to communicate. Julie, what do you got?
With so much adversity, what brings you joy?
My children. I have great joy with them. We have a close relationship. I just got back from Austin with them, and we have fun and we laugh, and they bring me great pride.
Mr. Schuhart.
So what do your adoptive parents know of your strength and success?
Well, I don't know exactly who my birth father is, but my birth mother knows of my success, and she's very pleased that I connected with my half-brother.
Has your mom been to your office?
My birth mom has not, and my adoptive mom died 2 years ago, but she was very proud of what I had accomplished.
Uh-huh. How about the abusive dad?
He died a long time ago in a military hospital, mm-hmm. and I ended up caring for him at the end.
Excuse me? You ended up caring for him at the end?
I took care of all of his finances and made sure that he was taken care of until he died. He was in World War II and the Korean War.
Wait. This is a man that was abusive, and you took care of him?
You have to do the right thing in life.
Where does forgiveness find a role in that?
You have to forgive. It just eats you alive if you don't.
Give me that idea. What are you talking about?
You have to forgive because the only person it hurts if you don't forgive is you.
John, what was your next question?
Well, how do you pass that lesson on?
By example.
What do you mean?
I think when you move forward and you get back to your community and you love deeply and you're a good friend, it sets an example.
How's that stuff affect the building of a business, though? I thought business was, you know, blood, guts, you sue people, you lie. I thought that's what business was about.
Business for us is joy and laughter and hard work and success.
Give me that again. Wait a minute. Let me hear that again.
Joy, laughter, hard work, and success.
As a youngster, as a kid, when did you first realize you could hold other people up?
Hold other people up from the time I was very young.
Tell us about that.
I had to help my brother, who was adopted with me, get through the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. And his reaction was?
He did not have the resilience I have, unfortunately, and he ended up being a severe alcoholic, and he was homeless for quite some time. He now lives in California and is sober and helps homeless people himself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. If we were doing a good interview, what question would I be asking you? What should I be asking you? What don't we know about you that we ought to?
Mm-hmm. You should probably ask me why I'm so happy.
Why are you so happy?
Because I practice gratitude. I've worked hard, and I keep a gratitude journal every day. And I think about the things every day that make me lucky.
Wait a minute. Let me get that again. You practice gratitude. Tell me more about this practice of gratitude.
Every morning I get up in the morning and I write in my journal, I am, and I put adjectives. And it could be strong. It could be grateful. It could be resilient. It could be hardworking. I could be lucky. And then I write, I am grateful for. And it could be the butterfly that just passed me by.
And where's that come from? The difficulty?
You have to work at these things.
Mm-hmm. Barb, what's the website address for Clap Communications?
It's Clap Communications with an S.
Let me have that one more time.
Clap Communications with an S on the end.
ClapCommunications.com, right? We've been speaking with Barb Clap, President and CEO of Clap Communications, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host, John Schuark, Graybeard Coaching, Julie Matt Gressa, Jim Wampus, Pagnotto Carpich, Stang DeLeon, and Stang Dave Kunzman, Pretori Law, Andy Stegels, Higher Logic, Bruce Kaufman, Human Circuit, Megan Fishburne, Agency Q, and Mike Kiptanovich, LMO. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. And your name and organization is?
Timmy Rupersberger, and I'm with Clap Communications.
And what is Clap Communications?
Clap Communications is a full-service advertising, marketing, public relations firm.
Uh-huh. What's your role in the organization?
I'm the COO.
So how large or how small is this organization?
We are purposefully 10.
Uh-huh. And what's your role in the organization?
The COO.
So you work very closely with Barb. Who owns the business?
I do. We work hand in hand.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the oldest of four girls.
Does Barb remind you of any of your sisters?
She absolutely does.
What do you mean?
My youngest sister is actually in sort of the same business and are both very grateful, caring, but very sharp businesswomen.
So you have a pretty deep personal relationship with Barb, it sounds like.
I do. I've known her for much longer than the period of time I've worked with
her. How long have you guys known each other?
Probably 30 years.
So you guys really trust each other, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
And you got each other's backs.
All the time.
How's that benefit your clients?
It benefits our clients because it gives them sort of two perspectives. Barb's more intuitive. I'm a little more analytical. Mm-hmm. And we analyze problems from all angles.
And I guess the benefit to the team is, as opposed to having a lot of political infighting going on, you guys are like, it's like one big happy family there.
We are. That's what we strive for. We work as a team.
Well, I guess it starts at the top, and you guys are pretty tight-knit, it feels like, and therefore it benefits your clients because your teammates feel good about the organization. What's the website address of this company?
ClapCommunications.com.
Let me have that one more time.
ClapCommunications.com.
ClapCommunications.com. And your name again is?
Timmy Rupersberger.
All right. ClapCommunications.com. And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce John Smoot, Executive Director, Habitat for Humanity of Northern Virginia. John, what is Habitat for Humanity of Northern Virginia? What are you guys doing?
We develop and construct homes for lower-income families to purchase.
How large or how small is the organization?
We have 22 employees.
And give me an idea of how many folks you've helped in the last year, for example.
Probably about 75.
Wow. And how many volunteers do you have in the organization?
We annually run 4,500 volunteers.
Wow. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Baltimore.
How many brothers and sisters?
I am the youngest of five.
Youngest of five. So what was the effect of being the youngest of five on you?
There's quite an age spread between myself and the next eldest, so I kind of grew up alone.
So you felt you were a little bit different, a little bit a loner of the others. And how young were you when you started making money?
As far back as I can remember, say 6 or 7, earliest memories of my mother throwing me out of the house on a snowy Saturday morning with a snow shovel. Don't come back until you've made $10.
Ah, so your mom was pretty much a motivator. And tell us a little bit more about what other stuff you did as a kid to make money.
I was very handy, so I was repairing lawnmowers. I would repair vacuum cleaners. I would take things apart and put them back together.
And didn't you mention that what did your dad do for a living, and what did you do for your prior living?
Yeah, my dad was the founding pastor of a church in Towson, Maryland, a Presbyterian church.
And what did you do for a living?
And I, by default, because I didn't do so well in school, sort of ended up the same as he did, except he was a lot more successful.
What did you learn as being a Presbyterian minister that has anything to do with laying the groundwork for your successful role as an executive director of Habitat for Humanity of Northern Virginia?
Well, I would say that most of my work in parishes has to do with kind of being a turnaround CEO, helping a more effective organization, and that fed into my ability to execute a very complex mission in Northern Virginia.
John? Excuse me. Mike.
You mentioned earlier when you were growing up, you fidgeted with lawnmowing engines. Growing up, typically young boys may push lawnmowers and make grass. Tell us how you were doing that and how that relates to what you're doing now.
For some reason, I just really have enjoyed taking things apart, fixing them, and putting them back together again. So I think that's what I've been doing most of my life.
David?
As a minister, you've got a flock and a lot of pastoral duties. Some of them are joyous. Some of them are very, very sad. Are you still ministering to a flock today with Habitat for Humanity?
Yes. My job full-time is with Habitat, but I am associated with a local Presbyterian church and working with them.
Andy?
Yeah, John, so, you know, as a minister, when you preach to a crowd, the crowd gets bigger, and you can accommodate that quite well. How does the supply and demand work when, you know, you've got hundreds of people that are applying for new homes that, you know, and they're looking at you as the answer to all of their problems, and you don't have enough homes? How do you deal with that?
It is the most difficult part of the job. Is I wish that we had enough supply to meet the demand for.
And just to clarify Herb's question earlier, you said 75 folks, and folks translates to families, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is much more demand. Yes, Rich.
You have a background in building things and fixing things, and I know Habitat focuses on construction of homes, but I'm interested in the reconstruction of families that you do and how your background affects that.
Sure. What we do with our families has a lot to do with financial education and literacy and helping them. They have to do 400 hours of sweat equity in the building of their own homes, so they learn a great deal about construction of their own home as well as repair of their own home, and we continue to work with them for 2 years to make sure that they succeed.
You're still building a community. Megan?
You mentioned working very closely with your family from a young age. How has that influenced your work with Habitat today?
Working in my family?
Yes, working with cousins, brothers, sisters.
Oh, right. Yeah. I had a cousin who had a small contracting firm, and so I was always, from youngest I could imagine, been working with, helping it with carpentry and pouring concrete and everything else that needed to be done.
What did you learn from that helps you nowadays, pouring concrete and all that other kinds of construction stuff that helps you with Habitat for Humanity?
Well, we're a general contractor and a developer, so it helps me to understand the pro formas of how much it costs to build a house.
I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know, who you were then and what's going on now. Bruce?
John, I'm trying to figure out how you go from self-described loner to two of the most social jobs on the planet, 4,500 volunteers and leading a church.
Church was hard. I'm actually probably more introverted than a loner. It has more to do with a sense of vision and forward movement when I say loner. I do listen to people around me, and I listen to their counsel and gather people around me that are better planners than visionaries. So that's how I would describe it, is more forward movement leadership.
Jen?
You mentioned that your mom was a big support structure for your dad in building his parish. How does that help you now in what you do?
Finding the people around me that can help execute what needs to be done by way of the mission.
Huh, interesting. Yes, young lady.
Do you ever find that your strength of being a visionary taken to an extreme can become a derailer? And if so, how would that affect how you construct a team?
Yeah, I would say derailer is too strong of a word, but it's certainly a cautionary tale not to get too far in front of your team.
John?
Who constructed you?
Mostly me.
What do you mean?
Well, I would also say that I grew up with a very busy father, having founded a church, and that I actually had probably 10 mothers and 10 fathers that were related in the parish, and so I learned a lot. I learned a lot about empathy and a lot about how family systems work, just interacting with these families. So they kind of grew me up.
Where do you find joy?
I find joy in spending time with my wife, Mary. I find joy in finding new ways to deliver housing units in a very difficult acquire and develop market in Northern Virginia, and thinking up innovative ways to serve ever more families and just think outside the box gives me the greatest joy.
John, service clearly starts at a young age. I mean, and 30 years as a minister, and then the Habitat for Humanity. How are you trying to engage younger folks in the cause of and the mission of Habitat for Humanity? Do you have any programs for that?
Actually, some of our own homeowners become our greatest spokespersons and want to go into community service because of the hand up that they got, not the hand out. To home ownership. So there are a lot of, I would say we get a lot of activity out of that, out of the homeowners' families themselves being community minded.
So some of the kids of the families.
The give back mentality gets instilled in these families, and gratitude.
the give back mentality and the gratitude. Well, you're doing a lot more than giving them a, you're providing a home. You're helping education.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if all of a sudden they're not spending 80% of their income on housing but 30%, all of a sudden there's health outcomes and educational outcomes that are just monumental for these families.
What's the website address of this organization?
HabitatNova.org.
Let me have that one more time.
HabitatNova.org.
HabitatNova.org. We've been speaking with John Smoot, Executive Director, Habitat for Humanity, Northern Virginia, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com.
You became a nurse for a lot of reasons. You care about people and you love taking care of them. Being a nurse is who you are. But today, many medical facilities require nursing candidates to have bachelor's degrees, so you're probably going to want to have that degree. But you work. You may have a family. How can you possibly fit getting your bachelor's degree in your already tight schedule? With the online RN to BSN bridge program at Independence University, our online learning model helps you balance your work, your family, and your desire to move up in your nursing career. Class sizes are small and personal, and we're 100% focused on helping you through the program so you can earn your degree. An IU's online RN to BSN program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. Our goal is to help you achieve your goals. Independence University's online RN to BSN program. Call now.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Vizier Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Pinakin Patel, who is the CEO, and Amy Johnson, the COO of IT Concepts. Pinakin, what is IT Concepts?
IT Concepts is a software development company and program management company. We actually provide IT services to the federal government.
How large or how small is this company?
Our company is about 75 employees.
All right. Now, wait a second. So you're about 75 employees. So who started this business?
Actually, Amy started the company back in 2003.
But Amy's—it says Amy's the COO. But Amy started the company. All right. Well, let's find out what's going on here. If Amy started the company and Pinakin's now the CEO, so Amy, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia. How many brothers and sisters?
I have three older brothers.
So you're the youngest of four. Pinakin, where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from India, but I grew up in New Jersey.
So you were originally from India. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the youngest of four. I've got
So both of you guys are the youngest of four. One of you is from Richmond, Virginia. The other one's from India. And but I guess you guys must have a pretty close relationship because Pinakin's now the CEO of the organization that Amy started. Why would you let him be the CEO if you're the one who started the business and he's from India and you're from Richmond and all that other stuff?
Well, I was primarily in 2003 when the company started, I was doing independent consulting. And years later, I met Pinakin and I knew in order for this company to grow, I needed to bring on partners.
Okay, that makes sense. But you guys are so different, aren't you?
Not really.
What do you mean?
We come from very humble backgrounds. Our upbringing is very similar, and our parenting, how our parents brought us up, we actually have a very similar background.
How could you be so similar, though? He's from India, and you're from Richmond, Virginia. That's sort of interesting to me. Who's got the right question here, Michael?
Amy, when was the first time you became so self-aware of yourself and sort of where you can take your own company?
Probably in when I moved to Northern Virginia, I realized I was working for a big firm, and I realized that I think I can do this by myself. The market was in a place where it was very demanding, and I didn't feel like I needed the help of a big company and wanted to just do it on my own.
All right, and then what happened?
And then I was doing independent consulting for probably about 5 years.
Wasn't it frightening bringing him on as the CEO?
No, I think we had actually worked together, and we had built a trusting relationship.
Uh-huh. Jen?
Amy, you had mentioned that your mom had told you something about she pushed you and being...
Yeah, what did she tell you?
What did she tell you,
girl?
And how does that help you?
Yeah.
Being the youngest girl and three boys, she said you've got to stand on your own two feet, be independent, and she pushed me to just not have to rely on anyone else.
And you both have that in common?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so, absolutely.
What do you mean?
Like Amy as well, I was the youngest, and early on, you know, I helped my dad out in his business. Growing up, my father and mom really couldn't speak or read or write English, so at a very young age, I sort of took charge.
How young were you? What kind of business did your father have?
My dad had a corner store.
Where was this?
In Trenton, New Jersey.
And how young were you when you started working in that store?
I was 10.
You were 10. And where were you doing in that store?
Originally started off stocking shelves.
How long did you work there?
I worked there till I was 16.
Uh-huh. And when you stopped, when you through the course of that time, what did your responsibilities evolve into?
As I got older, I started running the store, and my dad started coming less and less, and I basically was managing.
Because of the fact your father didn't necessarily read and write as well as you, so you were really in charge there. You were taking responsibility.
Yeah, that is correct.
It sounds to me like what you're doing with Amy right now. Uh-huh. Megan.
Panakin, what did you do before you started in consulting?
I was actually in the military. I was in the Air Force.
So what led you to government consulting?
So coming out of the military, I knew I wanted to continue to serve in the government space. So I decided to join Booz Allen Hamilton, mm-hmm. where I consulted.
David?
I've been to Trenton. I've been in a few corner stores before. You're at the cash register. You're middle school age. You've got a line of customers who want their coffee and they want it now, and there's a line. You learn to read people at a very young age. How has that helped you in business?
That is absolutely correct. It's helped me assess situations very early and assess our client and customer service as well as being the key focal point of the firm.
Rich?
Panakin, it sounds like you've been the CEO since you've been 7 years old. So what did you take from your early years as a CEO, and how does that affect your leadership style now?
It's helped me realize that, you know, the age is not necessarily important, that if you're aware of yourself and you can understand the situation, that you can lead no matter how old you are.
Give me that again. What was that?
Primarily the reason I left Northrop when I was in my 30s was just because I felt like I wasn't being promoted fast enough. And I think in big consulting firms, age seems to drive a lot more mm-hmm. of promotions mm-hmm. and sort of how fast you move up rather than...
Mm-hmm. You've been a very motivated person throughout your entire life. Is there a moment or a memory as a child that you draw upon to continue that motivation in your adult life?
Yeah, absolutely. I still remember coming to the country when I was 8 years old and driving through New York City as we landed and looking at the skyscrapers being so grateful and remembering that helps me sort of motivate where I want to take the firm and sort of continue to build.
Andy?
So clearly your parents have instilled an amazing work ethic and that's a trait that you've leveraged in your professional career. What is a trait that, you know, if you could pick one that you would want to pass on to your kids?
Being humble. We talk about that almost every single day.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm.
Other than the big difference between Trenton and Richmond, your similarities, youngest of four, early retail customer service experience, and the big one was that you were both the first of the siblings to go to college. How did that affect you both?
I think that, like I said, my mom pushed me to stand on my own two feet, so I think that being the first one to go to college and pursue dreams, parent support, it definitely made a difference.
Mm-hmm. I think learning responsibility very early on has impacted both of us, and it helps us sort of guide the firm as well.
And so, Amy, this question kind of applies to both of you, but I'll point it to Amy. You've achieved amazing things from such a humble background and again, a strong work ethic. 75 employees, a successful company. What's the end goal? Like, where do you, you know?
Yeah, how high is up?
Yeah.
What's good enough?
I would say probably, I think our initial goal was to reach 100, but I think we're going to be there sooner than later. So the end goal...
It's interesting. You have two people from very humble beginnings. They don't know how high is up. They're going to keep on rocking.
I imagine their end goal keeps moving away, you know, keeps moving up as they move up.
I guess so. I have a question, though, for him, because I guess as the founder and the founder of the business that brought on a CEO, what's the end goal for you as a CEO?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, we'd like to be about 250, 300 employees. I think that gives us enough leeway to make sure our employees are able to continue working it in case one contract is lost or so on.
Sure.
What do each of you appreciate about the other that you don't often vocalize?
I actually do vocalize it a lot, but Amy's very for Amy to look at a situation and be able to take charge of it right away and lay out what it'll take to get a job done is tremendous. And no matter what it'll take, she'll continue to work and developed our tagline, which is driven to deliver.
Amy, what do you appreciate about Panakin?
Panakin, like you mentioned earlier, he has a good intuition on people. I think he can, folks coming in for an interview, I think he already can figure out if this is going to be a go or no go. And I think from a business development perspective, he's very good with our customers and has a good tact of knowing what their needs are and how we can solve those problems.
Hmm. Interesting. Who's got the next question?
When do your employees play mom against dad?
Yeah, very often. But but like in every situation, mom usually wins.
Who wears the pants at home, Panakin?
My wife.
Amy, who wears the pants in your family at home? Okay, all right, you do. Uh-huh. What's the similarity between being a mom and being the COO of IT Concepts?
It's just like an extended family. I mean, I care much about these employees as they're my own children. I don't want them to have any shortcomings or be in a situation where they can't come to us or if they're having a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. We do have an open door policy and want to keep that small feel.
Mm-hmm. So you guys really enjoy working with each other. Do you guys start emailing each other at 6 in the morning and end up at 11 o'clock at night, 7 days a week? Is that what it's all about?
It happens.
Yeah, very much so. I think more on text than emails. But yeah, absolutely. It's 24/7.
What's the website address of IT Concepts?
Useitc.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Useitc.com.
We've been speaking with Panakin Patel, the CEO, and Amy Johnson, the COO and the founder of IT Concepts here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host, John Schwark, Rabier Coaching, Julie Matt Cressa, Jim Wappas, Pagnetto Carp, Rich Stang, Leon Stang, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, Andy Stegels, Higher Logic, Bruce Kaufman, Human Circuit, Megan Fishburne, Agency Q, and Mike Kaptanovich, LMO. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. Yeah. And your name is?
Henry Schauffler.
And what's the name of the organization, Henry?
CEO Focus.
And what is CEO Focus? What do you do for a living?
We help small business owners grow their companies at the strategic level in spite of themselves.
So you, is this by pulling different groups of CEOs together so that they can hang out and talk and learn from each other?
No, it's a structured, facilitated process to help them get to the strategic answer to the problems that they're facing to grow their company.
So the CEOs are getting together and you're helping through a structured process. Why do you like doing this?
I've been in and around small businesses for most of my career, and small business owners are salt of the earth. They are the ones that create over 50% of the jobs in this country, and they're my heroes, along with our military, police, and firefighters.
Wow, so you're telling me that small business owners create better than 50%? I mean, I hear about all these big companies in the news, but you're telling me that small businesses create better than 50% of the jobs?
Small business owners are the ones.
So how long have you been doing this for?
11 years.
And what do
run
you
run several companies before that?
And what do you enjoy most about your job with CEO Focus?
The authenticity, the honesty, the purity of spirit working with small business owners, their families, and their employees.
So they're really sharing with you what's really going on in the inside of their business.
We get down to the nitty gritty, and they share with each other.
Huh. So this is not a situation where it's, you know, everybody's bragging about stuff. They're really talking about, I guess, the real problems, the real situation.
Well, they're helping each other. Yeah, they're not bragging. They're helping each other. They're like a board of directors for each other.
Interesting. What's the website address for CEO Focus?
CEOfocus.com.
So this is a group where they're like board of directors for each other. Let me have that website address one more time.
CEOfocus.com.
And we've been speaking with your name again. Your name again is?
Henry Schauffler.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity.
Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Here's George Foreman with InventHealth.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Mark Witte, President and CEO of Enhanced Veteran Solutions. Mark, what is Enhanced Veteran Solutions? What do you guys do?
Enhanced Veteran Solutions is an IT support firm to the federal government.
And how large or small is the organization? How many employees do you have?
Currently, we have about 53 employees and 47 subcontractors.
All right. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Canton, Massachusetts.
And how many brothers and sisters are where? And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest of five.
You're the oldest of five. And when you were a kid, when you were 8 years old, did you tell us you started making money? How did you start making money when you were 8 years old?
I started making money when I was 8 years old by selling greeting cards.
And you were doing that door to door, if I remember correct.
Door to door, yes.
And you told you ended up buying a bicycle with that money. What was the benefit of you buying that bicycle?
Well, the purpose for selling the cards was to get the bike. And once I got the bike, then go out and sell newspapers, which basically expanded my ability to make money by going a further distance from my house.
I see. And when you were 16, where'd you get a job?
I got a job at a grocery store.
And what was your, when you got hired at the grocery store, where were you originally hired to do specifically?
I was a bagger.
When you got the job as a bagger, you worked that job, if I remember correctly, for 3 or 4 years. What did your role evolve into aside from just being the bagger?
Eventually we went from the bagger to the cash register to and all the way to the back of the store, and I was working in the deli.
So you ended up doing a lot of different jobs in that company. You were 16 years old. You expanded your responsibilities. I'm wondering, what did you learn from going to work in that grocery store and expanding your responsibilities? Has that anything to do with you building this business known as Enhanced Veteran Solutions?
Hard work will get you there, and being polite. will get you there.
Wait a minute. The hard work thing I sort of understand, but what do you mean about being polite? How did you learn that lesson? What are you talking about?
Well, if you're in a retail business, the customer is quote unquote always right. So therefore, you learn to listen as opposed to learn.
I see. Andrew, did you have a question there?
Yes. Mark, you said that your uncle, earlier you talked about your uncle who was in the military for 30 years, and now you've been through all businesses. What's the influence that he had on you today working with disabled vets?
Well, early on, I wasn't the most academic person in the world. So my uncle was in the service. I looked up to my uncle, even though he was only around like once a year. You know, it was fun travel and adventure. He'd been all through Europe and everywhere. So I decided to join the service, and I spent 6.5 years in the service. And now my company is a service disabled veteran owned small business. I'm the service disabled vet.
So I guess your uncle had your uncle had a pretty significant impact on you, Amanda.
Yeah, Mark, you're from Boston and I'm from Pittsburgh, and you walk up and knock on somebody's door and you're bound to get smacked or worse. What did you do when people said no, and what did how did that give you your perseverance to become a great leader?
You get no no matter what form of life you're in, what walk of life you're in. Yes, you're right. In Boston, you get no's a lot more than yeses. But you just move on to the next. You walk into the wall and you just turn and move around it and keep on going.
Victor?
Keep building.
Yeah. I just want to go back to your uncle for a second. Earlier you said that when your uncle walked in the room, everyone said, wow. What was the wow that you saw?
Well, it was the uniform, I think, the respect back in those days. I mean, we were blue-collar workers back then. I mean, I know Massachusetts is known to be a more liberal state, anti-whatever.
But he was
respected.
So you're one of five. You're the oldest of five siblings. Did you bring your siblings into your entrepreneurial efforts as a kid?
No.
So how did you – what influenced you to become a manager and a leader of many people and of your own company?
Mm-hmm. I started out wanting to be a teacher. So teachers teach and lead.
I didn't achieve that.
Mm-hmm. But as a manager and as an owner of a company, I do that.
Gotcha. Mark, do you have a question?
Yeah, so looking back from where you stand right now in your business, what either events or particular possessions you had that you treasure most?
I don't really have anything in particular that a tangible thing. It's more memories from my life. I mean, I had a good childhood. We weren't rich.
So it's not the stuff. It's the memories, Tom.
Correct.
The uncle was on the father's side or the mother's side?
Father's side.
Okay. And then what did your father think? Were your father close with his brother?
He was till that moment. And then he was quite upset. The way the plan was supposed to work is that my uncle was supposed to talk me out of joining the service. And I came back, you know, just walking on the clouds, and I was just pumped and ready to go tomorrow. So that kind of put a rift in the family.
And did that sustain, or did you reconcile?
No. It reconciled, yeah.
That's good.
Victor?
Yeah, what did you get from your father, though? I know you got something from your uncle, admiration of the military, respect, but what did you pull from your father?
My father's hard work. Hard work and trying to be inventive. He was an insurance salesman before there were computers, so you couldn't Google or Internet or whatever. So he would do the newspapers and cut out people who got married. And that was his call for the week. Mm-hmm. All the people who got married that weekend, he would go see them. And he got that from cutting out of the newspapers. It was definitely unique.
So your dad taught you about creativity.
Yes.
Has that helped you in your business?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you mean?
There's ways to do things, and then there's the reality of this life, and things don't always go the way they're planned. So you have to always be looking at and thinking about, okay, well, if this doesn't happen, how do I get to the next step?
So your creativity helps you do contingency planning and working your way around things. So one way or another, you're going to get there. What's your website address? What's the website address of your organization?
EnhancedVets.com.
Let me have that one more time.
enhancedvets.com.
We've been speaking with Mark Witte, President and CEO of Enhanced Veteran Solutions, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And we've also had the opportunity of speaking with Marty Piperl, who is the Dean of George Mason University School of Business, Julie Murphy, Partner and Senior Vice President of Public Relations, Sage Communications, Tom Raffa, Founder and CEO of Raffa, and again, most recently, Mark Witte, President and CEO of Enhanced Veteran Solutions. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Tom McBride, Cressa, Mark Haas, AEG, Victor Hoskins, Arlington Economic Development, B.A. Spignardo, Shapiro, Lifshitz, and SRAM, Andrew Bridge, Eagle Bank, and Amanda Mitchell, Morgan Franklin, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. Oh, we did that nice.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.